I've been blessed by this group. And originally, Rich said, you know, would you come talk about the building a little bit? And you guys see the building, you know what's going on. But I want to tell you about this building committee. People don't realize how much time they invest, how much energy, how much spiritual involvement has been involved by this committee putting this project together on your behalf and on behalf of the ministry that's happened here. The focus has always been, what's our ministry need? We know these buildings are ministry tools and they're supposed to do what God has called us to do. So what has God called us to do? And what has the body of this church, you guys, what have they commissioned us to do? So with those responsibilities in mind, and again, every meeting has begun and ended, and prayer was involved in all of it. So many of them have been involved in prayer in my personal life. But I have leaned on Rich for prayer. I have leaned on Ronnie for a lot of things. And Pastor Ronnie, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your input and your wisdom and what you brought. And I know that you've been a great influence in that, Sherry. So thank you for raising him like you did. And But it is a joy to be here and a privilege to be here. I'll try to get you out of here pretty quick. I never thought I would be going to see my grandchildren play in ice hockey. A North Carolina boy like me from the swamps down there going to watch an ice hockey game. So I won't keep you late. But I do. I was so encouraged when I'm walking in here and we're praying in the building. The guys back in the sound booth are checking me out and telling me what I need to know, giving me information. I walked past these boards in the back, and I saw the prayers that have been lifted up and the prayers that have been answered. And I'm going to tell you what, and Rich said this is a growing church. There are things happening here, and I'll tell you, I've seen the band of brothers. It is a warrior's mentality, and you got to have one because we're in a fight. We are in a fight, and there's nothing the enemy hates worse or fears more than a praying church. Amen. That is the foundation of it all. And you can put that up there. So maybe this dovetails into what you're kind of doing here. There's a group of the church that I go to that's called the Warriors Group. That's the men's group. And we were looking at all the weapons of our warfare. This actually started probably more than a year ago. The verse from Timothy says, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I have finished the course. And that's what we want to do. We want to be running the race. This is not a time to sit down and sit on our laurels and pray hard and hope somebody else does something. It's time for us all to get up and get our hands dirty and get in the fight. Interesting thing, when I started that off for the Warriors, I borrowed a nice broadsword from one of my brothers. We have a fencing background at UNC, and asked somebody to come up with a pocket knife. And he came up, and about the time he got on the step, I pulled out this sword that's about 3.5 feet long. And he said, "That's not fair." I said, "Who wants a fair fight? Do you want a fair fight? When you're fighting for your church, when you're fighting for your family, do you want a fair fight? Or do you want to be able to use everything God has given you to fight with? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Pull out the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit." And this all started when I was reading Daniel. And it was over a year ago. And I read the fact that the angel was standing there and said, "Daniel, the moment you prayed, I was dispatched. But it took me 21 days to get here." And I'm thinking, okay, what's the deal here? What kind of battle are we in? What are we doing? Our prayer's getting answered, but there's opportunity for obstacles to come in the way. So how do we mitigate that? And I started going down the path of, I was talking with our infantry brother there in the back, about the military aspects of battle. Where are you? What's your perimeter look like? What are your weapons? What are the weapons of your warfare? Where are the weaknesses in my perimeter? Myself or the hedge that I'm trying to keep around my family? What am I doing to put myself in the best position? And knowing that I can't do it myself, because we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities that are eternal and that we can't see. So that's where this started. And then God said, no, you're getting ahead of yourself here. Let's get back to basics. So, okay, where does this start? Where do I start learning about this? Where do I start educating myself to get myself in a position to take care of my family and to use the gifts that God's got in me, He placed in me, and He placed in you specific gifts to minister to specific people and to accomplish specific things for the kingdom, for His honor, His glory, and so that you can have the abundant life through Jesus Christ. Where do we start? You know, and it went all the way back to, okay, why am I here? Not what's my destiny, what's my calling, what am I supposed to accomplish? Am I supposed to be a pastor, a teacher, whatever. Why did God create me in the first place? Why did He create you in the first place? So we're getting back to the real basics here. You've heard the story of Vince Lombardi starting every Green Bay Packers training camp. He got the world champions back. They didn't trade people back then, so you got 99% of the same team you had, and he starts out the first practice with, gentlemen, this is a football. So I said, okay, Lord, where is the football? Where's the football question in this right here? Why'd you create me? And the answer came back. It was really simple, kind of caught me off guard. He said, I want the kids. I want a family. I want a family. You know, what you do when you get married, you know, you want it. You want kids. For why? Why did you want? I want somebody that I can have a relationship with. I want somebody I can spend time with. I want somebody I can nurture and help grow and instruct and teach and watch them grow up and become productive, active, you know, making an impact in society, making an impact in the business world, bringing glory to me. This is all about creating glory for God and uplifting Him. So how many examples do you want? When you look at your kids and they're grown and they're in productive society, you that are old enough to have those, you know, what joy does that bring to you? To see, man, I had a hand in that. What do you think God's greatest joy was? Probably walking in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. With a sinless man and woman, He created a perfect environment for them, and He's spending time with them. He's loving on them. He's telling them about all the things that are going to happen, and they can see all the possibilities. And, you know, He probably knew that they weren't going to quite make it, you know, because He already had a plan in place. From the foundations of the earth, He had Jesus in the plan. So He's looking. He had kids anyway. You know, when you have children, you know they're going to mess up. You know that they're going to make some bad decisions. But what do you want? What would you prefer that they do? Would you prefer they run and hide or try to hide it? Or you rather them come to you and say, Daddy, I need help. Mom, I made this decision and it got me in trouble and I'm looking at this stuff. Can you help me? What do I need to do? That's what God wants for you. That's what He wants for you. That's what He wants for me. He's about relationships. So how do we develop relationship? Again, let's go look. He's given us so many examples in our family, in our community, in our church. How do we develop relationships? You communicate. So if God wants to develop a relationship with you, then He wants to communicate with you. He wants to spend time with you. Young folks, if you're courting somebody, you got a girlfriend, boyfriend, you spend time with them. If it's a team, you know, I want to be within a group of people. I like what this club is doing at school. You spend time together. You get face to face and you talk about what they like, what they don't like, what they're good at, what their talents and gifts are. And then you get to tell them about yours and you exchange information and you learn of each other. So how do you do that with God? You spend time with Him. You dedicate time to Him. You spend time in His Word. You want to learn about your friend? You know, one of the easiest ways to have conversations with people and be a good conversationalist is ask people about themselves and let them talk. They'll tell you about their what they do, what kind of work they do, what their children do, you know, what kind of recreation they have. Get them to talk about themselves. Draw them out. Find out about them. Find out about God by getting in His Word. Spend time in His Word. so that you're learning of him. It also, when you're starting to develop a relationship, it starts to, you start to say, well, I'm not sure about that part of this relationship, okay? If you'll really be honest and do what God wants you to do, then you'll start examining yourself. If we were looking at our relationship with the Lord saying, okay, I don't like this about this relationship. What am I doing in my relationship with my Heavenly Father? Because everybody's got that person when your cell phone rings and that name comes up right there, or there's a knock at the door and you look through the peephole and that person's standing there, your first response, your first thought is, what do they want now? You know, the only time they call, the only time they come visit is when they need something and they got to have it now. And it doesn't matter if it's convenient for you or not. Am I that guy with God? You know, is the only time I call on him when I need something? Or am I really pursuing him? And he says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So are you seeking God? Are you learning who he is? Because all he wants for you is his best. Not what we think is best. He wants you to have what he knows is best. And the only way for us to understand that and appreciate that and trust him to deliver that is to spend time in his word. Find out what his word says. Find out what he says is good. Find out what he says is going to be the best for us. Find out what his promises are. His promises are all through the book. And they're promises of blessings and meeting our needs and answering our prayers and uplifting us and encouraging us. All we've got to do is sit down and read them. And that's why he commands us to pray. He doesn't command us to do something that's not going to be for our benefit. First Thessalonians, pray continually. For that's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Pray without ceasing. So he's commanding us to get into fellowship with him, to understand who he is and what he wants, and then how to implement that in our life. And so get in prayer with God. Okay, what do we pray for? Everything. Everything. Don't leave anything out. Total, open, honest. You know, tell him, we'll talk about the mechanics in just a second, but don't leave anything off the list. Wisdom, that's a good place to start. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally, freely. You know, who do you want to listen to? You know, you hear things that people, that they say. Well, they say this, and if you look at them deep enough, you find out most of those things are inaccurate or incomplete. They say experience is the best teacher. Well, experience is a good teacher, but experience is the best teacher when it's somebody else's experience and I don't have to make all the same mistakes that they make. I mean, that's just common sense, isn't it? That's another thing, common sense. If it was common sense, why isn't there more of it? Just one of those questions. Provision, protection, strength and courage, prosperity, forgiveness. That's a great one. Our nation, we are commanded to pray for people in positions of authority. No matter what party they are, pray for our nation and those our leaders. We're instructed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The nation of Israel they're still God's people and they're still there and they're still a key player in what's going to transpire through the end of this age. So keep them in prayer always. Pray for faith. Pray that your faith is increased. Pray for encouragement. Be lifted up. You know, when David was in the dark doldrums all the time when he was running from Saul, or his wives had been kidnapped after Ziklag had been burned, it says he encouraged himself. Well, how did he do that? He went to the Lord, and he praised the Lord. He sang praises in the midst of the situation. Not for the situation, but in the situation, he was still praising the Lord. I pray for my car. You know, I have to get from place to place, and I put a lot of miles on that 320,000 miles now. I pray for my car. God owns it. It's his car. You know, he gave it to me. God, he kept the Hebrew children's shoes from wearing out for 40 years walking around in circles in the desert. Amen. You know, I'm going to keep you out here because you whined and complained all the time, and you got to pay that price, but your shoes aren't going to wear out. Your clothes aren't going to wear out. So, you know, put everything out on the table. Is it okay to pray for wants? It sure is. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants you to have a blessed life, a fun life. He doesn't want you stressed out and depressed. He wants your life filled with joy. He wants your lips filled with praise. But the praise comes on the front end. Praise and worship becomes first. But it's okay to pray for the things you want, because he wants us to experience his joy. Okay, now we're committed to prayer. And by the way, none of this matters if you haven't got the first prayer right, because this is all contingent on that first prayer, which surrenders your life to Jesus. Amen. And if you haven't done that today, you've already been invited to at least twice, I think, to get that part right today, so that all of this matters. But if you haven't, he's tugging at you right now saying, I need to make Jesus my Lord and Savior, and that's real easy to do. But how do you get results in your prayer? I mean, what does your prayer life need to look like? And almost everything you see begins with praise. We start with praise. Philippians 4:6, in all things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace which passes all understanding will be yours in Christ Jesus. Start off with praise. Jehoshaphat sent the praisers out at the beginning of the battle, and they didn't even have to fight a war, if you remember that. So start out with praise. Acknowledge who he is, what he's done. Praise him for the things that you expect him to do. Thanksgiving. Give him thanks for all that he has done. Let him know how much you appreciate it. How do we feel when we've gone out of our way to help somebody and we don't even get a thank you? Not that you did it for the thank yous, but isn't it nice just to somebody to say, thanks, man, I appreciate that. You know, be like the 10th leper, the one that came back and says thanks. But start off with thanksgiving. Let God know how much you appreciate all that he's done. All that he has done. Confess what you've done. You know, I know I've fallen short. Father, let's get this off the table. Wash me clean. You know, it's always better after you've cleared the table. I mean, I talked to a youth group and I said, okay, what's worse? You've done something wrong. You know there's going to be consequences. What's worse, getting caught and punished, or waiting for the hammer to drop? You know, I know somebody's going to find out, and you're walking around for days, and there's weights on your head. I know it's going to hurt. It's going to, you know, or kick back here or whatever. Isn't it almost a relief when you get caught? Yeah, just go ahead, punish me, ground me, spank me, do whatever, and it's over with. It's forgiven and it's out of the way. Why not do that with your personal life? Because we're all going to, you know, and he sees it all anyway. It's just a matter that we have to recognize it in ourselves and say, okay, help me with this. I messed up here. Please forgive me. Tell me what I need to do to make it right, and let's move on. And then it's wiped clean. And now that's a clean slate for you looking for. Now you can present your request on a clean table. And that you know that he's going to hear you, because he is, again, he is listening for us. He is listening for us to seek him out. He wants us to come and tell him everything that's on our heart. All of our needs, all of our wants. Just let me know. And if you want results, can I go back to our kids again? Okay, you've given your children some responsibilities and you've given them some latitude. Why? Because they prove themselves worthy and faithful in the small things. You give them up pieces. You give them freedoms at a time. You give them privileges. You let them drive the car. You know, it's only in daylight hours and it's only so many miles. But as they prove themselves faithful, then we are eager and willing to enlarge that. Because we're faithful in the small things, He will give you responsibility over greater things. You remember the parables. Okay, so what are we doing with what He's given us now? What are we done with what we've been given in the past so that we have shown ourselves faithful and can show ourselves that we will be faithful with even greater gifts, with even greater responsibilities, because when they're to whom is much given, much is required. So with the gifts are going to come the responsibilities also. So that's going to weigh into the results that you get. Other aspects of mechanics of prayer. I know God knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows what's going on us while we're just thinking, but I think it's also important to speak what you want. They asked Jesus how to pray. Teach us to pray. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven. Speak. The magic or the spoken word is really a transition from spiritual to physical. When God created the universe, did He think about it? Or did He say, let there be light? And there was light. He spoke things into existence. That's why we're told the power of the spoken word. You see it. If you say it, you've thought about it. Now you've verbalized it. And you've put it out there. And you know, you can't bring it back. Words will never hurt me. That's another thing they say. That is not the truth. Words can be destructive, highly destructive. So what are you doing with your words? What's coming out of your mouth? What are you confessing? Are you confessing defeat? Are you confessing victory? Are you confessing what God told you? Because when you pray, what happens to it? It's not just you. You're engaged with the Holy Spirit. You're engaged with Jesus. And what happens is your prayers, they go to heaven. I can't see this watch. Find out where I am. They go to heaven. And they're received by the Holy Spirit, who takes our prayers and perfects our prayers. They're presented to the Father by Jesus. You've got, you know, our brother, our advocate that goes before us, that sits at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for us. I didn't mean that. I was coming down here. Romans 8, 26. I'm not keeping my guys back there very well informed. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us that with groanings which can't be uttered, so He can speak to God in ways that we can't. And He's going to take your prayers. Give Him something to work with. Give Him something to work with. Y'all ready to listen? Okay. This is the next word. Listen. Listen, 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 listen. Remember that comment about other people's experience? Who do you want to lean on, your own understanding, or you want to lean on the understanding of the one who made it all? Everybody know Dwight Moody? Moody Institute, just one of the most dynamic, impactful lives ever lived recently on this planet, said he was in his prayer closet praying, pouring out his heart, seeking God. And he said it was not audible, but it was like somebody almost slapped him. And he said, I sat right up and I said to myself, Dwight, you fool, here you are, somebody that knows absolutely nothing, doing all the talking to the one that knows absolutely everything. How often do we get caught up in our prayer life, but it's always outgoing, and we don't have our receiver up to receive from God, to get His input? What's He telling me? I'm asking all these questions, but, letting Him get a word in edgewise is like trying to thread the needle with the sewing machine running. You know? He's like, calm down. What does He say? Be still and know that I'm God. I'm Daddy. And that's really what He wants. Jesus talked to Him as Abba, Father, Daddy. somebody that's intimate relationship, not distant. But listen. And Bill went to it a while ago. You know, when he answers, if you're looking for an answer to prayer, if there's not peace in that answer, then it's not the right answer. You need to ask again, or you need to listen a little bit longer, or you need to pour some in it. And then after you've been instructed and after you've been led, you need to act. It doesn't do him any good to answer prayers if we don't take them and do something with them. You put them on the board. You lift his name up saying, God did this for me. Let him know. Let people know. But take action. Take his direction. It doesn't matter how much we hear if we don't take it to the next level, if we don't use it. What did James say? Faith without works is dead. So if you're not using your faith, he's answered your prayers. What are you doing with it? And if you've asked for this, but you've not done this over here, totally different prayer, totally different answers, but you're asking for here and you've not done this. Remember, what have you done with the little things I've given you so far? Have you been faithful in this? Did you do the last thing he told you to do? Not trying to beat anybody up. I'm just trying to say, you know, I'm talking to myself as much as everybody. Just, you know, have I done everything with the prayers the answers he's already provided? I guess one of the examples, and Pastor and I talked about this, do you have it in your power to answer the prayer you're asking for? There's a gentleman saying that his wife ran the Sunday school. Their computer broke down. It was a small church. They didn't have a computer in the budget. And he was praying, Lord, what are we going to do about this? You know we need this computer. You know we got to have it. We don't have the money, and he said it's like somebody almost tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, what are you doing talking to me? You're the one with two computers. And he was like, oh, okay. It's sitting over there in the corner, perfectly good computer, you know. Do you have it in your power? And what really had happened is God had answered that prayer before the computer ever crashed. He had placed that computer in that guy's possession. He'd gotten him a new one. He was doing his business, everything he had to do. That one was sitting there waiting to be an answer to prayer. Is there something around in your life that you can be the answer to that prayer? Amen. It's just the things to ask as you're asking God, you know, what am I asking? What has he already given me? What are the resources I have to answer that? And then believe him. Just believe him. Mark 11, therefore I say unto you, that whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, your askings need to line up with God's heart. Your desires need to be God's desires. So to make sure that as we're examining ourselves, we find out where we are in our relationship, where we are in what we're asking for. Understand when we ask what all is out there, because God really, he would really like you to ask him for things that you can't do by yourself. You know, he's really looking to show up big. He's bigger than most of the things we pray. I think we're not praying big enough. I think, and Calvin talked about that, is, you know, faith is gonna lead to prayer. And then prayer is going to build your faith. And faith is going to lead to more prayer. So it's a continuing cycle. As your prayer life evolves, your faith will increase. And you will see God for who he is, being able to do bigger things than we can imagine, beyond all that we can ask or think. But believe. And then expect. What do you pray? Pray God's promises back to him. Those words full of them. His word is full of his promises. It's not stuff we asked him to promise. It's stuff he's volunteered. As we act in obedience, as we obey all his laws, he will bless everything. Go read Deuteronomy 28 and get all the blessings that he promised. And you're going out and you're coming in. You're lying down, you're rising up in your cities and in your fields. He'll bless your cattle, your horses, which is my car, He will bless everything about. Your enemies will flee in all directions. and he will be glorified. But go back and read his promises. And when you pray, pray those promises. You said you would supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Are you doing the things that are tagged to these promises? We can absolutely pray for prosperity. We can pray for financial assistance. But are there things that are supposed to happen before? Remember, it's sowing and then reaping. Give and it'll be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosoms. But the first part of that is give. Now be careful how you interpret that, because giving is beyond tithing. I don't think you can give offerings until you've paid your tithe. That's just me. So what am I sowing into the kingdom? What am I sowing? I need more time. It doesn't make sense to give more time to get more time, but that seems the way it happens when you volunteer yourself and you give yourself your time away. Music ministry, that's takes a lot of time. I know it does. Takes a lot of time from the building committee, and that's one of the things that that I pray over these building committees all over, you know, this one included. Father, they've given their life into you. You know, give it back to them. Bless them with more. Bless them with time. Bless them with whatever they're giving. And I'm looking here in the offering plate. You've given your lives. You spent your lives earning money. And so you've really laid your lives in front of the altar. So I commend you. And God has a great blessing for that. But get in touch with him. Make sure that you're asking for the right things. And then expect him to answer it. You know, he doesn't care. He wants to know that you know him. He wants to know that you've read his promises. And that you're not holding his feet to the fire. I think he wants to show up big. But really the bottom line, and we get this, the world has a bad picture about God, and I'll try to wrap up with this. They think he is, what did Bruce Almighty call him? A mean little kid with a magnifying glass. You know, he is not a judgmental God sitting up there in heaven that's not connected to us and doesn't appreciate us and doesn't love us. He loves us like the daddy you can believe. You describe the perfect dad, and that's who it is, and who he who you are, and who he created you to be. He wants you to prosper in all things, but he wants you to understand where it comes from and what he's got in mind. You know, where you go, where you get your counsel. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. That's Psalm 1's not on there. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law he meditates day and night. And he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that'll bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf shall not wither, and all he does shall prosper. Don't you love superlatives? All he does. But what's it contingent on? He hides the word of God in his heart, and he meditates day and night. You're not wearing your earbuds listening to music all the time, but you've got the scriptures running through your head like the elevator music. It's all the time. It's all the time. And you want your kids to show up and say, you know, every time I bring something to you and we have a conversation, you got a scripture to go with it. One of the greatest compliments I've ever been given by my children. Well, you got a Bible verse to go with everything. I'm saying, yeah. God, I did something right. But that's what he wants. You know, he gets excited when you come to see him. I used to come home from work and my wife got a little schnauzer. I'm a big dog guy, but she, you know, my son was leaving, the last child was going off to college, and I figured a puppy was better than therapy or cheaper. So we got the puppy, but every time I pulled up in the driveway at the end of the day, this dog was up on the glass door just, you know, scratching and jumping like that. And I said, baby, there's your example right there. So when I come home from work, I'll be both of you right there, right? She said, yes, I got you. But are you excited to get up in the morning to see God as much as he wants to see you? The other big dog was a golden retriever that we had for 14 years. He never liked to be inside, so he had outside the invisible fence and things like that. 14 years, I do not remember one morning going to that back door that he was not sitting there at the back door, looking straight at that door, and it was like If you'll just come on out here so I can love on you. Come on, let me love on you. You know, God's sitting there every morning saying, man, God, I hope he gives me a little bit of praise before his feet ever hit the floor. You know, I hope he's looking forward to a great day. You know what I could do for him today if he'll just come to me and ask and work with me? That's what he wants. He wants you. He wants you. He's not sitting up there trying to play spiritual whack-a-mole, you know. He messed up. He's not like that. And he's not kicked back in his armchair with his ball cap watching the show, you know. You see that? You see what they did? Now watch what she does when he comes back. He's not doing that. He wants to be involved. He wants to be engaged. He wants to love on you. So go to him. And get radical. You know, there's a whole other section. I'll have to come back to do that. It's about keeping your powder dry and how to make your weapons more effective. Make sure your prayers aren't hindered. Get right with your wife and your husband. Get that relationship right. 1 Peter, go look it up. This is really an assignment to hopefully get some things stimulated in your mind to go and search some of these things out. You know, type them in. It's easy to do with today's media. You can type in a phrase, you can type in a word, and it'll bring everything up. You can go to a commentary and find out what somebody has to say about it, and then you can figure out what really God was trying to tell you. Not necessarily, but they're all good tools. You know, get unforgiveness out of your heart. I'm going to take a minute here because we make this is important. We make this harder than it is. And unforgiveness, you've already heard. Forgiveness is the greatest gift you can give yourself. People will hurt you. People will disappoint you. You will be misled. You will misunderstand people and think they've offended you, and that wasn't their intention at all, you know. So a lot of times we're walking around being mad at somebody, and that's not really what they said at all. So, I mean, you know, you can, those things you're advised to work out. If you got something against your brother, sister, go to them and have a conversation and say, what really happened here? Or this hurt me, or, you know, and resolve it that way. If that's not going to happen, you need to turn it over to God. When you forgive somebody, you're not saying this did not happen. You're not pretending that you didn't get hurt. Okay? You were hurt, and it was wrong, but you can't do anything about it. So God, help me turn this loose. You don't have to become their best friend immediately. Go out to dinner with them and, you know, you don't have to do all those things. You just got to release it and turn it over to the Lord. You don't have to trust them if they've proven themselves untrustworthy. Trust is earned. You're not denying that fact, or you're not saying, well, a lot. That, then you become an enabler. So, you know, you don't have to trust them. You can say, you know, if they come back to you and you can't resolve this, as well, sorry, I just can't do it. My wife had a great saying for our kids growing up. She said, when somebody shows you what they're really like, believe them the first time. That'll save you. That'll save you some heartache. You know, if they change, then that's great, and you can witness the change. But don't let unforgiveness get in the way. Don't ask amiss. Don't be double-minded and wavering in the ways you thought. What are you going to do with this prayer request? Are you going to waste it on yourselves and personal interests that have no impact on anybody else? Or are you asking for the purposes of God? And you can ask for wants. You know, he knows you need recreation and some things in your life to help you. You know, my therapy is golf, but it's also a place where I can go and talk about things that are happening. I play golf with Christians. I play golf with non-Christians, and it's a way for me to show the love of Christ and the life of Christ. So, but get those things. Get those things out of your life that could hinder your prayers, because you don't want them hindered. And I'll just wrap up here. You know, just get with God and let him love on you. Get radical in your prayers. Get on your knees. Check out fasting. You know, praise him. Praise him with a loud voice. Walk up and down the halls of your house saying, praise the Lord. Father, fill this house with your Holy Spirit, with your health, your healing, your love, your peace, your joy. Raise your hands. You know, lift up holy hands. I saw a few hands up earlier. You know, it means a lot of things. It means surrender. We got to surrender to God. It also means release. Okay, Lord, you have this. You know, I'm handing it off. You got it. How do you receive things? Super Bowl? How do you receive? With your hands open and your arms out. The one, my favorite, though, is when I'd walk in a room, my children and now grandchildren. You walk in your room and they look at you and say, oh, Papa, that's what he wants. Amen. He wants you to say, Daddy, pick me up. Pick me up. So thank him. Praise him. Let me get the right thing here. Get radical with your prayer. Ask for big stuff, stuff that you can't do by yourself. Wield the word like the sword it is. Don't let the devil put you down. Let the world put you down. In love, take his word and go to war. Crawl up in his lap like a little child and rest in what he's got for you. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will fill your heart and your mind and your family and your church with everything you need. Seek him out. Seek him out. That's what he wants. He wants you. He created you for something special, and he wants you. But thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I enjoy being here.
Well, it's been my joy for these 3.5 years to get to know this dear man of God, and we're going to spend some more time together real soon. But we had a wonderful time this week, and I've come to love Jim. This song that we're going to sing, I got to tell you about it real quick. You might think it might not be an invitation song, but a lot of the guys in this church have been there and done this. It's called Chain Breaker, and they know what that feels like because they were in bondage. And I'll tell you, our God is a great God, and there is no chain. I don't care how big it is. You might feel like you're walking around with a 200-pound weight and a chain, that God can't break that chain. There might be something today that you just need to give God. And Jim and I talked about it. We're going to open this altar open. And our deacons will come up here. I'm going to let Jim, if you want to pray with Jim. And Amy, if you want to come up and pray with some of the ladies. We're just going to open this altar up. And whatever you need to do today, you just do business with God. All right? We all agree on that? Don't let the song distract you, but listen to the words. Because our God is a God who hears and answers prayer, and he can break any bondage, any kind of chain in your life. Let's pray. Father, if there's someone today that don't know you and pardon forgiveness of sin, I pray today would be the day that that chain would be broken. Thank you that Jesus has already taken care of that at the cross. He paid our sin debt in full. He said, it is finished. And then he rose again on the third day so he could live his life in us. And as Jim so beautifully has said, we can have a relationship that we can cry, Abba, Father. Lord, you said in your word, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Lord, you've already made it clear to us that if we will respond to this invitation that you extend, God, you will break all chains. God, break chains here today. You are a great chain breaker. And I pray today your Holy Spirit would work here, setting us free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.